Hello and welcome to the Inside Sport NRL podcast. Anthony Brand here, Inside Sport online editor, with James Smith. How are you, James?
I'm well. I'm really excited to be here for this first historic NRL podcast edition.
The first one we're doing, and hasn't there a lot been happening in the NRL?
Yeah, we've really picked a boring week to start off.
We sure have. Well, let's get straight into it, mate. Round six this weekend, but let's have a bit of a recap on what's been happening this week. Obviously, Cooper Cronk, mate. Huge news out of Melbourne with him saying that he's not going to stay on in 2018. He had an option, obviously, to leave, and he's taken up that option, mate. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are it's quite refreshing for the code. Like, who would have thought that a bloke like Cooper Cronk would be available to, you know, on offer at least anyway, or the prospect of being available for a Sydney club? Like, no, we just wouldn't have thought it would ever happen. We all thought that he'd play his days out at the Melbourne Storm, and earlier this week it was quite a bombshell, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, when he was in that press conference, he was obviously, as he always has been his whole career, very calm, very composed, very relaxed, and he really could have taken it upon himself to dodge all the media for the rest of the year by saying one way or the other whether he was going to play on. To me, that says... he really doesn't know, because there's obviously going to be huge conjecture around what he's doing next year. Obviously, he's coming for his fiancée, Tara Rushton at Fox there.
Yeah.
Mate, do you think that's going to be a distraction?
A distraction? Oh, no, not really. I think he's too level-headed for that. I think you're right. He came out and handled and dealt with it straight away. Maybe he's already decided where he's going. Maybe everybody already knows where he's going. And yeah, he did look pretty in control of the whole thing, didn't he? There was a funny meme type thing that was doing the rounds on Twitter that was zooming in on Craig Bellamy looking forlorn about losing his star player. That was quite funny. I don't know. Is it going to be decided in the next couple of weeks? I reckon it will be. I can't see a bloke as in control as Cronk leaving things to dwell on as long as...
What do you reckon? And so in the next month or two, do you think before Origin, after Origin? Or what are you thinking?
Yeah, probably before Origin.
Yeah.
As I said, maybe he's already made up in his mind what he's going to do. Maybe he's already called it quits in his head. Maybe he's... Mm.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because he's obviously reigning Dally M Player of the Year. Him and Tom Lolo last year shared the honour. He's in the form of his life. I mean, and he's 34 this year, but you only have one career. He's in a very precarious position, because if he does play on, I mean, if he was going to, you'd imagine that whoever the club may be, obviously a Sydney-based club, he would take up, probably sign a two-year deal with a one-year option. Is it worth messing with the legend that is Cooper Cronk, that could have been as a one-club player for that extra 1 or 2 years somewhere else?
Probably is to him. He obviously looks at his career a little bit differently to us. We see him as Cooper Cronk, but as we know from interviewing these blokes, over so many years, they're competitive animals. And pretty much his next move will be just a continuation of the same career. Whereas a lot of other people look at it as, oh no, it's this seismic shift that we can't handle. But it'll just be, you know, business as usual for whoever he plays with, whoever that may be.
It's a huge one, and obviously the Sydney papers are going bananas over it. Let's hypothesise here. Let's say he makes the call that he wants to play on. Obviously every club really in Sydney would be interested, probably bar Manly. You wouldn't really think the Panthers would be interested. Probably the big one is the Bulldogs, really. It makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, they're an established club. You've got Des Hasler, who's just re-signed for another couple of years. They're a successful club. Who do you think would be, in the money to get him?
Well, I didn't think of them before, but I think Parramatta.
Yeah.
But Parramatta, with the connection that Brad Arthur has to Craig, you know, there's got to be some sort of attractive connection there that that wouldn't require too much effort on Cooper's behalf.
Sure.
And they're going to be playing the next few years at Homebush.
Yeah.
It's not really out in the sticks, really, Parramatta anymore. So, yeah, and there's a Corey Norman factor. He's already there. He's established. Yeah, not a lot of talk about the Dragons either, is there? There's nothing about the Sharks. No, they've got Townsend and Maloney. And I don't know if you're going to touch on it, but then there's West Tigers. They're another, another 8, 9, 10 kills of fish there. So.
Exactly. No, it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, one that's going to follow Cooper around and till he makes the call either way. It was interesting, Peter Sterling said that he thinks he'll retire. A lot of experts think he will. But as everyone keeps saying, he's a different cat. Cooper Cronk's a different kind of guy, isn't he? He does things differently. And probably that's why he may just go around for an extra year.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, yeah, he's been playing a long time. He's won premierships. He's, you know, played tests, a mile of origins. If he does want to help Tara out, which is completely understandable, he might be looking at his career and thinking, gosh, like, why not go up to Sydney and call it a day, and I can actually enjoy my footy. There's plenty of footy to watch up here, and as I said, maybe he already has decided this, and
Well, when you look at other legends, a lot of other legends have had long careers somewhere at one club. You know, I mean, you look at Bob Fulton at Manly, won four premierships with them, and then spent a year or two at the Roosters. Paul Vorton did the same thing. Yeah. Other players have done similar things, haven't they?
Yeah,
so it really doesn't mess with the legend too much.
No, I don't think so. Brandy did the same with the Warriors.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah.
It does with the purists in the game.
Yeah.
It ruins things a little bit for for people like us who we don't want it spoiled.
Mm.
We don't want, you know, the image of that player in another jersey like Wally at the Seagulls and things like that. But, you know, I don't think it ruins the status. Like, it hasn't ruined someone like Wayne Bennett, who's now been to three clubs back at the Bronx. He's still the same legend, and I think, you know, going by his record, so
well, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Mitchell Moses is a big one. This just happened overnight, really. Requesting an immediate release to join the Eels, reportedly has signed a 2-year deal from next year. Should the Tigers let him go now? What would you do, James?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to let him go.
Mm.
Does not want to be there. Some players, even when they do want to be there and they're not informed, that's bad enough. Having a half who doesn't want to steer your side around anymore, that's got to be toxic, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what sort of deal is currently in place. This game's run on passion and football smarts, and worst thing you can have is an upset half in your team, I think. So yeah.
And some of the figures that have been thrown around, word is that he was offered a 3-year, $3 million deal that was then taken off the table. Let's have a think about the money for a second here, James. He hasn't played finals football.
Yeah.
And he's never played representative football. Can you afford to pay a guy $1 million? Obviously, they've withdrawn the offer. Apparently, the deal with the deal with the Eels is $700,000 a year, which is probably more in line. But even so, I mean, this is huge money for a guy that's really hasn't done much in the game at all, has he?
No. No, he's played, 50 or 60 games in NRL. And as you've been saying, he hasn't reached any heights yet. Last couple of years, him and Brooks have been spoken about as the next best thing, next big things.
Mm.
Every week we wait. They put in a good performance, and then 2 or 3 weeks, you know, in a row, they sort of fall off, which you would expect such a young duo to do. And that's the thing. Like, he's only young.
Mm.
He wouldn't like to think that he's got it in his head that he should be chasing the big bucks now. Maybe his next contract will be big, but his next one after that will be the real career defining one. So, yeah.
And he's probably dodged a bullet in a sense, because we've seen what happened to, at the time, Daly Cherry Evans's deal with Manly. We saw how he suffered after that. The pressure that comes with big money. And, I mean, this is Cherry Evans. He's won a premiership. He's played for Australia, played for the Maroons. Admittedly, he did a backflip. But this big money brings huge expectation as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, you just touched on something. Cherry Evans has done all that. He has played Origin. And has he played for Australia? I think he has.
Yeah.
He's won a grand final.
Yeah.
And then he gets the money after that.
Yeah.
Whereas this kid hasn't done any of that. So, his hunger would be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're setting your life up when you're young, and everyone wants to do that. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it will be interesting. And on that, we've got Luke Brooks, who's re-signed a $1.1 million two-year deal with the Tigers. That's probably what he's worth.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All that silly talk about $800,000 or $900,000.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing how that amount has settled. I don't know what the West Tigers want to do with the rest of their salary cap money. Maybe they're chasing a high-profile halfback that's
from Victoria.
just announced his intentions of moving up here. Yeah, who knows? It's going to be really exciting to see what happens over the next few weeks.
Definitely. Now, Moses's teammate, James Tedesco, he's publicly bagged the Tigers today on radio. Now, in that radio interview, he's confirmed that the Roosters and the Bulldogs are interested in him. He's apparently been offered a $4.4 million four-year deal to stay at the Tigers. He's come out and said today, and I quote, "I think clubs like the Bulldogs and Roosters, you know they're always going to be strong, and they've always been run from the top very powerfully. The Tigers have always been down the bottom. We've always had off-field dramas, and that stuff gets quite annoying over the years when you have to put up with it." Now, if I'm a Tigers fan, I'm not happy with that at all. What do you make of that, James?
No. Especially when, from the outside looking in, it looks like he may have played a part in a little bit of that unrest. So I don't know. Exactly. I'm unhappy about what's going on, but I'm kind of in the centre of it all. Geez, $4.4 million over how many years?
And he 4 years.
4 years.
One rep game to his name, which was obviously last year in the State of Origin for New South Wales. I mean, it's huge money. But he's tossing it up. I mean, obviously the Roosters and the Bulldogs have matched it, or pretty close to it. You got a guy here bagging the establishment and the club that's given him an opportunity and that's told him that he is the future. They need him there. They want him there.
Yep.
To build a future around. He's saying he wants to go to a club where there's success. I mean, isn't it up to him, if he's so damn good, to build that himself where he is? I mean, Ivan Cleary's just arrived. Isn't it up to him to come out and say, look, I'm going to sign on the dotted line. Aaron Woods, another one. Let's just sign. Let's do this for our club and our fans that really gave them their first opportunity.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, if you can't have it both ways, can you? You can't say, well, not that he is personally, but you can't place yourself as a priority Big Four signing and then want to wait for it to happen. You've got to be part of that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if it's, I don't know how hard it is out there. I don't know what the internal turmoil is like, but things would be a whole lot easier if everyone just concentrated on the footy. That's been hard because Ivan Cleary has come in, and with JT's departure, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to answer your question, you would be quite annoyed at that with it. When your star fullback, who has the spot locked in, no one's going to take it away from him. That's his. And it sounds like he's been looking around and
wants to go somewhere to win. I mean, you take the challenge on, and you be the hero for your fans. You get them there.
Don't know, I can't really see him at either of those other clubs. Latrell Mitchell's there, and the Dogs have got a stack of talent that they can play at fullback. I don't know if he's just a fullback. Is he? He's a little bit versatile.
I think that's his position.
Yeah.
That's his position. The Roosters are, like you said, Latrell Mitchell. Who would you take, Tedesco or Latrell Mitchell? I'd take Latrell Mitchell. Thank you very much. There's a guy that's 6'5", 105 kilos, and that's just been an absolute superstar from the start. That's what you want, and he's a junior from there as well, isn't he?
And he's still making mistakes.
Yeah.
But he owns them all. And
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and then over at the Bulldogs, God, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like a Bulldogs player to me.
He doesn't.
No, I mean, give anyone any sort of money and they can quickly turn, but no, it's... Yeah, and that's a massive couple of weeks or couple of months coming up for him. Definitely. Big pressure on a young bloke too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
The never-ending saga of what is rugby league. Now, let's talk about Ivan Cleary. We might as well. We just brought him up.
Yeah, yeah.
Joining the club on a 3.5-year deal, or almost 4-year deal, I suppose you could call it. Comes in Jason Taylor, obviously given the boot after round 3, that huge loss that the Tigers suffered. Mate, what do you think about this? Ivan Cleary, he's obviously helped rebuild the Panthers. Do you think that's a good move for them?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's a good move for everybody. He's a calming, experienced influence. Heard some people saying that, you know, whether he should just give this job a miss. But I've been thinking, like, what if he actually needed a job? Like, a lot of people with big jobs in the game already have said, nah, give this one a miss, mate. Is, you know, rugby league isn't that
there's only 16 of them, isn't there?
Yeah,
there's
only
16 head coaches.
Yeah, and it's not like the NFL or the NBA where a head coach gets untold millions of dollars per year. Like, you are still on a relatively modest wage compared to a lot of other professionals in Australia. But it's going to be really terrific. Like, what he did with Penrith, he was really unpopular at the time. Like, I think Petro went, he had Luke Lewis, Michael Jennings also... was shown a door or encouraged to look elsewhere, and he's probably going to do the same at the West Tigers. It's going to be unpopular for a little while, but he knows his footy. He's come in and had a helicopter look over the top of the operations, and he's really analytical like that. So I can't see him. I don't know, failing under him as far. I don't think they'll be camped down the bottom of the ladder while he's there. The rides will start gradually because, I think the players respect him.
Yeah, nice calming influence there. He's got a heap of coaching experience, obviously, there as well, the Warriors. Yeah. And we might be seeing, I mean, Anthony Griffin, who we're going to talk about in a second, he's obviously... reaping all the accolades at the moment, but maybe a lot of that's due to Ivan Cleary's groundwork that he did there before his arrival, and he was obviously let go at the end of 2015 by Gus Gould.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he set things up really well, and I think maybe that's why he handled the departure from Penrith so well, because you know he knew what he'd done, and he knew the groundwork that he'd laid, and he things were in place. Mm. His son was there. His son was, you know, left with a really good team to steer around the park, which is easy for a young bloke. It's obviously why there was a lot of goodwill with that departure, if you can call it that.
Definitely, absolutely. And we might as well talk about Anthony Griffin. This was interesting. Came out yesterday. Matt Moylan, Peter Hickey, and Wanna Blake will be dropped to reserve grade this weekend. Now, obviously, it's come out that after the Melbourne match, the boys went back to the room, were told to go to bed. They could have actually... I heard Gus Gould said that they actually could have had a beer at the hotel they were staying. They were allowed to do that. And instead, they haven't done that. They've gone out. It's obviously come out. But they've been dropped. This is a huge call from Anthony Griffin.
Definitely.
Especially being the captain with Matt Moylan as well. I mean... He's, 25, 26? I mean, he's not a kid. But, you know, obviously these things happen. It's come, they've owned it, apparently. Moylan's come out and said he's very sorry and understands. But what do you make of this move by Griffin? It's obviously a pretty ballsy move.
Yeah, it's very brave, isn't it? Because Souths aren't a slouch team.
You know?
They'll come at Penrith. Blood's in the water as far as this week's lineup is concerned. There's lots of... young kids in that team, and I think the way that I'm looking at it is it's a massive lesson aimed straight at Moylan, I think.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who led who out, I don't really care, but come on, you're the captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not on, it's turning up late to a recovery session in this professional day and age is...
Well, you've spoken to an ex-conditioner.
I spoke to Andrew Gray, the physical performance manager at the Sharks, and he went through every day of, you know, the life of a week of the life of an NRL club, and that recovery day, the day after the game is one of the most important periods of the week. It's where you got to keep moving.
Mm.
You know, it's where things are ironed out, like bumps and bruises, and I don't know. The Panthers obviously think so too. And
yeah,
when your captain doesn't turn up, and two of the other main, really big stars don't turn up, and it sends a bad message through the club, doesn't it? So
absolutely,
yeah.
And the Rabbitohs are hurting too. I mean, they've struggled this year. They lost, I think it was 28-6 to the Cowboys at the weekend. I mean, they're going to be fired up anyway. And now there's no Moylan, no Hickey.
Oh, they're just their eyes would have lit up when they heard those three players are out. I'm sure they agreed with the penalty. I'm sure they were thinking, good on you, Griffin. Like,
and I mean, the Panthers haven't exactly been setting the world on fire. They're 2-3, wins, 3 losses. This is a very important win.
Yeah. I mean, the accolades that were said at the start of the year, it's getting about time that they got a major scalp. They've knocked off Newcastle, which is basically a reserve grade side on experience form.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not going to say those players aren't NRL worthy, but on experience, they should have done that to Newcastle, and they put West Tigers away, you know, and we all know that what was going on at the time with them.
Mm.
They lost to the Roosters at home, and they also they got knocked off by Melbourne.
That's right.
Two teams that are supposedly co-contenders with Penrith, so it's time for them to sort out and really get the ball rolling, and that's going to be hard without Moylan there, because he's a bit of a talker and a director from the back. So
well, that's right. And Phil Gould, like I said, he's come out and I quote, "It's a big decision by the coach to drop these three players who broke the rules on Saturday night, but the coach is adamant that they're his standards and that's what he wants to keep." For Gould to say that, and Gould actually went on to say that it was very understanding. They're young fellas. It's very hard to sleep after a game, the adrenaline and everything else that goes with it. You can't sleep. So he kind of understood the fact that they might have stayed up. But a huge call, and one that will hopefully put the guys in good stead. And, I mean, look at Moylan. He's a superstar, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure. It's an interesting point you bring up about young blokes. Like, you and I went to Melbourne.
Yeah.
You're my boss.
Yeah.
You say, come on, you know, how about it? We're not in Melbourne all that often. Let's go and have a look.
About
what's around. Yeah. But I think doing something like this for round six, it's if there is a good time, then it's now. And then it's not going to happen again.
No.
So it'll you know, kibosh that, any ideas that the players have got that, you know, that things aren't as serious as what people are saying. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
Good on you, Anthony Griffin. 10 points for what you've done. Mate, Des Hasler has been re-signed. I mean, this has been following poor old Desi around for a long time. I mean, we saw at the end of last season when they were bundled out of the finals, obviously lost 4 of their last 5 matches of the year. A very famous board meeting where club legend Steve Mortimer, obviously a 4-time premiership winner with the club, said that he would resign if Des Hasler was reinstated or not sacked, I should say, if he wasn't let go. That didn't happen, and Mortimer parted ways with that role within the club. Desi's obviously stayed on over the off season. They had a pretty trying start to the year, including their round 4 36-0 pounding to Manly, which really sent the media into overdrive. And the Bulldogs fans, of course, who are you know, they don't mince their words and they demand a lot of success. Obviously, you're as good as your last win. Canterbury came out and beat Brisbane 10-7 last week. The next morning, or thereabouts, Des Hasler's told he's got another 2 years at the club. Good move. I mean, they say about players, you don't sack a player unless you've got a better one in waiting. Des Hasler, let's talk about his credentials to start with. Took over at Manly in 2004. They finished 13th that year. 4 years later, he delivered a premiership. 3 years later, he delivered another one. He's taken to the Dogs, obviously, 2 grand finals. Finals every year of his tenure. There's not too many better than him, really, in the game. The only two you'd really think are Wayne Bennett, who's been around for 30 years in the top flight, and Craig Bellamy, who's yeah. been around a long time too. I mean, who else were they going to get?
Exactly. Yeah. The way that I'm looking at it is this was all designed to put the focus back on the players. They really ate it up too. They came out and they said, you know, it's not Dez, it's us. And geez, it really worked. But I think the whole thing was a massive overreaction by everyone. How do you go from being your job on the line, you get flogged at Manly, right? That's it. You're on thin ice. And then with one 3-point win over a team on an absolute, you know, it was a bog. It was horrific conditions. So that has apparently fixed everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I heard that the actual decision to offer him more time or, you know, a contract extension was made in a board meeting on the night of that game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not really... Not everything's as it seems with that, I don't think. It's... I can't work it out, but it all happened on top of other things that were playing out, and it's quite a bizarre situation, isn't it?
They're in a funny situation, though, aren't they? I mean, the Bulldogs there, you've got Reynolds, who's off contract, and didn't he have an absolute wow of a game? Yeah. He came out and played superbly. Then the forwards stood up. I know Graham and Jackson were very much bagged. I mean, they only combined for about 150 metres against Manly, a game that I was at, and the Bulldogs were just non-existent that day. But I mean, they are a good side, and they're a tough side, and I mean every side has their off days, but they really responded well, in that win, and I think Desi there for a couple more years. I mean, there's speculation his relationship with Kieran Foran may have helped that. I mean, that's just speculation.
Yeah.
But
you reckon it might have been the catalyst of, you know, if we do this, then something else will happen.
You never know, but it might help. I mean, they are very, very close, and Daz. So it will be interesting to see how that one goes there with Kieran Foran. But anyway, Desi, good on you. Sign on for a couple more years. Mate, let's have a talk about the matchups, or unless we've got anything else you want to talk about.
No, I'd love to rip into these games. There's a really good list of round six matches. I'm looking forward to nearly every one, so... They're really excited.
It's a huge round of football, round six. Okay, we've got the Knights hosting the Bulldogs. How do you see this one, James?
Oh, just pretty one-sided. Having watched Newcastle live a couple of weeks ago, I don't know. They got a lot of really good young talent that just doesn't have the experience at this level, the patience that comes with being an experienced player. I really love Brendan Elliott at the back. He's really developing into a pacey, smart fullback.
Great.
Yeah, and they're a work in progress, and nobody's been too harsh on them at this stage. The Bulldogs, we're all looking forward to this week's episode of the drama that happens out there. So, what about yourself?
Yeah, mate, I'm with you. Bulldogs, easily. Well, let's get to another one here. Panthers hosting the Rabbitohs. Obviously, we've just spoken about this one. Mate, how do you see this one?
Oh, I'm sceptical about Penrith. They're my team, and I'm often harsh on them. So, I'm going with Souths. Not just because Moylan and Hiku and Farah are out, but their injuries are starting to mount up as well. Mm. You've got McKendry's out indefinitely. Cartwright's due back next week. Fisher-Harris is out, due back next week. And Peachy with his fractured rib. He's been one of their form players this year. He's so dynamic in really sharp bursts, and he's not going to be there. So it's a lot of talent that's not on the park. And what it's going to be is a really good test for Cleary and Tamari Martin. They're starting to get the reps, and this is a really big early test in their careers. And I'd love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong about this.
Yeah,
They're often good games, Penrith and Souths. They're really hard-fought physical matches, and you know, Burgess going up against the young forwards and Tamo. So I'm going Souths, unfortunately.
This is a real tough one for me. I mean, obviously, if the three weren't dropped to reserve grade, I would have been going Panthers. But I'm with you. I think the Rabbitohs are very hungry. You know, Madge Michael Maguire, you can tell he's staying very positive. I don't know if he's putting up a front, but if you watch the press conferences he's been giving, he's extremely positive and he's picking out all the good things that his side's doing. And he has been critical when needed, but I think he's going to get them up for this. It's a win they really do need. The Rabbitohs are struggling big time. Obviously, no Inglis at the back. He's out for the year. And I think just not having those guys there in Moylan and the boys is really going to hurt them. So, mate, I'm with you. Rabbits there. Sure. Another one here. Manly hosting the Dragons at Lotto Land on Saturday afternoon. Gee, isn't it good to have a 3 p.m. Saturday game at Brookvale Oval?
If Cooper's watching this, this is a perfect entree into Sydney Rugby League. It's a classic. This is going to be a really, really good game. Two teams who really have found their stride early. I know that the Dragons have done it in previous seasons early. But yeah, I mean, not many injuries. Josh Dugan's missing. Jason Nightingale will go into fullback.
I suppose it's not too much of a loss there, is it? I mean, it is a big loss, but he's deputised there beautifully in the past, Nightingale, hasn't he?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, really consistent player, Nightingale. He's one of the favourite sons out there. As far as a tip goes, I think the home ground advantage, I think... You Manly people who get out there, I don't know, it's a really good mixture, isn't it? Saturday afternoon and a full hill of Manly, Manly supporters.
That's great. That,
the criticism that Cherry Evans was receiving early on in the year has gone away because he started to run the ball more. He's gotten a lot more, he's got his confidence back, you know, doing kicks to your outside centres. It's if you start doing that, that means you're beginning to get back on your game. So
definitely,
yeah, you reckon your boys can get over the line there against the informed Dragons?
I do, James. I can see Manly winning. I don't think it's going to be much separating them. I mean, it's a big test for Manly, and I couldn't tell you the last time they've won four in a row. I think it's been a long time. You'd have to be going back to 2014 since they'd won four in a row. I mean, they obviously lost the first two. Opening round loss to Parramatta, which was quite close, and then that blowout against South, which really charged a lot of people up. I mean, I said they'd lose the spoon. I was at that match, and I've got to say that was the worst performance I'd seen from a Manly side.
Yeah, and you got online and you wrote that opinion piece.
I did.
They're heading for the spoon, and
they're going to win the spoon,
and the world's falling apart.
I know.
And then how many games have they lost since then?
Exactly, they haven't lost one, and they just look tough again. I mean, admittedly, it's a side that's finding its feet together. You've got it's pretty much a makeshift side, really. I mean, a lot of incoming guys. That spine of Api Carasau, Daly Cherry Evans, obviously at the back you've got Trbojevic as well. I mean, they're playing really well together.
Yeah,
they're playing really, really well together. The forwards, Trbojevic, Jake up front, he's playing fantastic football as well. Sirinen's really come of age as well. He's been playing well the last 3 weeks. I mean, they're a totally different side. I'm not sure what happened. I'd like to think it's because they ran my colon bag in the mouth. I doubt that very much. But Manly are just, they're looking good. But consistency is the key here.
Yeah, and it's good to see the pressure taken off Trent Barrett.
It is.
At the start of the year, you had Barrett, you had Hasler, Mary McGregor, and JT. It didn't go too well for JT. They're all apparently in the firing line.
That's it.
The jobs are on the line, and the only thing that makes that crap go away is winning. And
they've done
it. And Barrett's really... Oh, I'm so pleased to see the heat taken off him. Giving him time, like, you know, all the all-time great coaches didn't have impressive winning record when they started. And why do you think the extra criticism is... heaped on Barrett as opposed to other coaches?
I think he's a bit of an easy target. Manly, one of the big reasons, obviously, on the Northern Beaches. I mean, I live up there in Freshwater, and you know, the mood around town was when they were losing was that okay, one of their favourite sons in Jeff Tuvey was showing the door for Barrett. I mean, that's a big move, and it was in a year that that Manly actually just missed out on the finals. They actually went a lot worse last year. But there was a huge clean out as well. I think it's just good to see the heat off Barrett. He's a very calm coach. You don't see him go off his brain or lose his...
He probably doesn't have a right to yet, does he?
He does.
If he did that and, you know, he fires up at someone like a Nate Miles or someone like that, you're entitled to turn around to Trent Barrett and say, calm down. You're not there. You're a coach, but, you know.
And he's not much older than me, either. He's only 39.
Yeah,
He's barely older.
It's irrationality, too, of being angry at the person who took the Legends job. It's like, there's no... It's quite weird. Weird thinking there, but it's the football fans... You know,
every
tradition,
club,
isn't it?
You know, and what's to be said about coaches copying the brunt of everything? There comes a time, and we just mentioned the Bulldogs did it, and Manly did it after they lost to South. They apparently all got together, had a really good chat, maybe a couple of beers as well, and just said, "Come on, guys, you know, we're better than this, and let's do it for our coach." And it's something that a lot of teams should do. Because it's very easy to walk around and let the coach cop all the heat, really they're the ones out there.
And that happened at the Tigers, and it's turned into a shit fight that isn't going to be settled very easily. Is it?
Exactly. So. Well, my tip there is Manly as well.
Okay. Yep.
So then we've got the Titans and the Raiders, mate. You can't really go past the Raiders, can you?
No, they're much too big and tough. They're getting towards that complete side. It's good to see Jared Croker. He just gets better and better as a skipper. He's very inspirational.
He's a funny one, isn't he, Croker? Because he's not a guy that... You look at his stats and you're like, wow, he's kind of unassuming.
Yeah, he scored his 100th try last week.
Amazing.
Last week,
he's only 26, I think. He's already played a couple hundred games, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's going unbelievable. But he's very unassuming, isn't he? And he's not a big centre.
No, that's right. No, I during my days at the Goulburn Post, when I first started out in sports journalism, the coach of the local team was his dad, Greg Croker. And he's like a classic country boy.
Yeah.
Not too much is going to rattle him, and I think he's very much like the Ivan Cleary, Nathan Cleary team there. I think you get a lot of that from who brought you up, and he's very calm under pressure, and he's
great with the boot.
Terrific. Yeah.
That's a sign of handling pressure, isn't it?
Doesn't look like missing a lot of the time. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Would you install him? I know you're a big Blues supporter. Would you install him? Would you have him in your Blues side?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I come out with some very wild. Suggestions sometimes that aren't very mainstream as far as the Blues selections go, but I think he'd be terrific. I can't think off the top of my head who's stopping him from getting there, but that goal kicking in Origin is so important, and
absolutely,
and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes with the ball, Croker. Hopefully before it's too late, he gets a start.
Gets great. And his centre partner there in Leilua, I mean, how good's he going? Big Joey. Yeah. I mean, then you've got Rapana on one ring, you've got Leilua and Rapana. And who's on the other ring?
A young bloke made his debut last week, Ned Kotrick. He just, like, burnt it up. He had a terrific debut.
Didn't he?
Yeah. How long they keep him in, I'm not too sure, but a lot of players a lot of big players are criticised for not using their size properly. You know, certain Bulldog player gets smashed for it all the time, but these guys, they know how big they are, and they know that they're going to hurt someone when they run in, and they get that pace up, and they're skillful as well. Both of them, they're a terrific combination.
Unbelievable, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge Leilua fan.
Yep.
And I, being a Maroons supporter, I'm extremely happy. Daly's actually come out and said no, Leilua's not in the frame.
Fair enough.
I'm very happy about that. He'd almost be my first pick for the New South Wales side. He's unbelievable. He's that X factor that the Blues really need. I was quite surprised that Daly said that, actually.
And the other bloke like that is Shannon Boyd. Yeah. Jordan Boyd's a steamroller. I mean, you know, he obviously isn't as mobile as some of the other back rowers and mobile props, but you can make him into one. He seems a lot harder physically this year.
Yeah.
A little bit more puppy fat that he's gotten rid of, but he's a machine as well. I'd like to see him.
What do you make of Big Dave Taylor? It's great to see him. Yeah. I mean, he's a story that he's a guy that pretty much could have been anything, as we all know, skillful, and the rest of it. Obviously, didn't reach his potential at the Broncos, at South, or at the Titans, where he got into a bit of trouble off the field as well. He's done the hard yards, though, mate, hasn't he? I remember he got to the club in the pre-season, and Ricky Stewart said, look, mate, we'll give you a modest train-on wage. We'll supplement your income. I've got your job at a pub in Goulburn, I think it was. And he went and poured beers. And the word is he's still doing it. Obviously, he earned a contract now, 1 year deal. Word is he's still doing it. I mean, you go for a beer, and there's Dave Taylor pouring you one. That's keeping him centered. What a great story with the side that the Canberra Raiders have. I mean, their premiership potential, having a guy like Dave Taylor. I mean, Ricky Stewart, he's a smart guy, isn't he?
Yeah, for sure. He's a smart coach. It's like people bagged Wayne Bennett out for bringing Benji Marshall on board, but there'll be 1,001 uses for him. His experience is invaluable. There's a second chance in rugby league. There's nothing better, is there? He's got the size and he's got the skill and experience, so why not? Ricky obviously saw something there and he made him work for it, whereas maybe if you just threw him into the squad you wouldn't get the good start that he's been off to this year. So
shed 9 kilos. He's looking $1 million. Fantastic. Absolutely Raiders in that one, but I do like the Titans. I like their grit and their toughness, and especially I think that was epitomised in their win over the Parramatta Eels. I think they were 12-0 down at one stage. Correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 6-0 down. I can't quite remember. But they came back and they won, and they played a terrific match. They're a tough team, the Titans.
Definitely, and they're losing players, and they're still turning up.
Yeah.
They've got a really, really good club spirit there. And, you know, just despite what you hear about Jared Hayne, apparently he's a cancer to the club's spirit and when they play, it doesn't look like it. Exactly. But they've got Nathan Peets out, Hayne and William Zillman indefinitely.
Yeah.
And Tyron Roberts with that knee injury that he copped last week. That's a massive loss.
That's huge.
He's another player who's found a second wind.
Wow.
It's so underrated, that bloke.
Absolutely. Him and Ash Taylor, really great combination.
And what they've got lately is Kane Elgi and Taylor. That was supposed to, you know, be a few more years off.
Yeah.
And Taylor was supposed to not arrive yet, but he got that opportunity last year through Elgi's injury. So, yeah, and I watched them play the Warriors last week, the Titans, and, they hung in there for as long as they could, but, I don't know, those injuries just wore them down a little bit, and it's a tough place to win, so.
Definitely is. Kieran Foran there. So the next match here, what an initiation for Ivan Cleary, the big trip up north, the Cowboys hosting the Tigers, mate. You can't see this going any other way. I know they like to say new coach, you notch up a win, but there's no way, is there? Jonathan Thurston at home, plus every other gun they've got. You can't see the Tigers doing too much damage, can you?
No. Anything could happen here. what a disruptive week. I can't imagine the week that they've had. Now they've got to go on a 4 or 5 hour plane flight up to Queensland, where it's still hot, where Thurston's just signed a contract extension, plenty of cause for celebration. The Cowboys have won their last two games. They're in really good form. Everyone's forgetting about them as premiership contenders, so they're equally up there with the Roosters, I think.
Well, you're nervous enough, aren't you? I mean, as a player, how much does that off-field stuff? I mean, you've interviewed 1,000,001 of the best of them, James. What do you think? Do you think that off-field stuff can really take a toll on the boys?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, look, you think of yourself when you come to work and you've got worries. You don't concentrate properly, do you?
Like exactly.
If not, everything's not fine and settled, or not everything, but if everything's not as fine and as settled as you want it, it could play havoc when you, especially when your job is to go out and perform in front of thousands of people.
You're nervous enough.
Yeah.
That extra spotlight, because there's going to be a big spotlight. A lot of people are interested.
Yeah.
A lot of people will want to be seeing it.
That's right. It'll be like watching a car crash this game.
You reckon?
Yeah. Surely, yeah. I can't see anything else other than a massive win for the Cowboys.
You thinking 50?
Yeah.
What the odds are on that?
I wasn't thinking that, but I'd go with you on that one.
Who are they missing, the Cowboys? Obviously Scott. Is Tomalolo still out? Or is he back?
No, he's there in 13. I had a look through the injury lists, and I don't think they've... I think they're quite strong on the park. They were missing Ethan Lowe towards the back end of last year. And they've got him, and he's made such a difference to their forward pack. But and on top of everything else, with the Tigers, Luke Brooks isn't playing. So you've got Luke Brooks isn't playing. Mitchell Moses,
he doesn't want to be there.
Doesn't want to be there, so that's their halves taken care of. But that Jack Littlejohn, I mean, a poor bloke. Like, he's like the Jackson Hastings of this year, isn't he? Like, you know, there you go, mate, there's a job for you.
And he was great against Canberra.
Or
he was good against Canberra. But actually, he was great against the Storm in that opening half of footy, wasn't he? He was sensational. Just actually scored a great try.
You got two choices, haven't you? Like,
yeah,
be scared or just go for it, and be confident in what you're trying to achieve. So, the Cowboys by a lot in this one.
Cowboys by a mile.
Yeah,
we've got the Warriors. Obviously, we've got Kieran Foran. He's back and he played very well last week.
Yeah,
in his opening match, Warriors versus the Eels. The Eels have been struggling of late. I mean, they were tipped at the start of the year. I think they were pretty much equal favourites for the flag. Mate, they've had a bit of a rough start to the season. Obviously lost last week to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Mate, how do you see this one? This is a tough one to call.
Yeah. But every Warriors game is, isn't it?
You just don't know who's going to turn up.
No. But it was so good to see Kieran Foran have that return that he did.
Wasn't it?
Him and Johnson have just automatically struck up a good combination, you know, much the same way as...
Played a bit of international footy together.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but a bit.
No, and apparently, he's really...
They're close.
Johnson's made a real effort to make Foran, you know, feel comfortable and all that kind of thing. There's some really good halves combinations that have struck up, isn't there? You got Pierce and Keary. Tamari Martin and Nathan Cleary. It's getting back to those old days of you got the star half and the offsider 5'8" who's still a half in their own right. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it seems that if you can nail that, and the Titans are on their way too.
Definitely.
With Elgie and Taylor, if you can get that right, then that's a massive step forward.
Sure.
Oh, I don't know. The Eels have been losing, but they got beaten by the Raiders last week and the Sharks the week before.
Mm.
They're just not easy to face those two teams.
No.
I'd go the Warriors.
You don't sound very confident, mate. Nah,
just because they're at home. It's if Kieran Foran can build on that confidence that he would have got out of last week's game, it's going to be hard for Parramatta. But I think one player I like out of the Eels is Gutherson. I think, he's come along really well. He's matured really quickly, and which is really good for the Eels.
Mate, he's been sensational. I mean, for a guy that was on the wing at Manly and a backup winger to start with, like he only get a run here and there. He slipped through the cracks there at Manly, and I like him in the six. He's very mobile. He's big. Yeah. He's quick. He's got a great pass on him as well. He's been the X factor for them, really, hasn't he? I mean, that's a real find. When I heard he was going to be their constant number six, I mean, admittedly they didn't really have anyone else to put there. But, mate, hasn't he stepped up and played really good?
Definitely. It's good to see him involved with the ball a lot more. I had to actually check to see whether it was another player altogether because it didn't register. And you just reminded us that he was on the wing.
Yeah.
A wing to 5'8".
Wing like, to 5'8".
I'm sure it's been done before, but I'd never expected it with him. And yeah, he's grown a leg for sure.
How are the sides looking? Any outs?
Parramatta. They're looking pretty good. It's a good stage for a good game. The Warriors forward pack. Ryan Hoffman's really stepped up.
He has.
He's a veteran and he has stepped up before, but he's getting some really, real good leadership qualities about him.
He's great on the edge.
And Simon Mannering, he's such a consistent performer. Oh, really? Like, just doesn't get the accolades that he deserves. So
definitely.
Yeah. So you're with the Warriors with this one, or
I'm torn here. I'm just going back. I have tipped the Warriors, and this is purely because of Kieran Foran. I think for his first match back was unbelievable. I'm going the Warriors. They're at home. They've just been ordinary, really, apart from last week. They've been really ordinary, subpar for the players that they've got. I mean, someone that hasn't really stood up, I believe, is Isaac Luke. I mean,
yep.
For many years there while he was at South Sydney, he was just ruthless. He was the best dummy half in the game, really. I mean, we've got Cameron Smith, but he was almost as good as Cameron Smith. Obviously, very different player, but he was sensational.
Definitely.
Set them up in that premiership year.
It's a good spine there. You got RTS, Kieran Foran, Sean Johnson, and Isaac. Yeah. You'd expect a lot more out of them. With that strong forward pack as well.
Definitely.
And every winger that they have is huge. Every outside back is like a giant. So, they're just a constant puzzle, aren't they, the Warriors?
They are, they are. Okay, so we're both going the Warriors there.
Yeah.
And then the grand final rematch. This is a huge one. We've got the Storm hosting the Sharks down there at Amy Park. It's going to be a massive, massive... occasion, mate.
It's terrific, isn't it?
Let's have a think here. The Sharks beat the Knights by 1 point.
Yep.
Last round. You wouldn't read too much into that. They're in second gear the whole time, really.
Definitely.
But I mean, they're going to have to pull their finger out, and they would have been roasted all week by Flanagan. He would have given them a tough week.
Can you imagine that same? I watched that game in full. That same performance against Melbourne. Penrith really put in last week. They just could not break this wall. And they still lost by 24 points or whatever. It wasn't flogging. It was probably that sort of score line, but they just pulled Penrith apart. They ground them down. They put on a try every 10 or 15 minutes, and it made it look like it was a comprehensive win. That's a hard place to win down in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And that defence is it's incredible. I think I heard a stat in Penrith. Had 50 tackles in the second half in their 20 metre zone and couldn't break through.
Wow.
They scored a first half try and it frustrated Penrith. There was a bit of niggle starting to develop and they really started to annoy them. So, what a game for Cronulla. And it'll really indicate too how things have turned around in 6 months.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a real opportunity for them to say, obviously last year wasn't a fluke. No one would ever say that. I mean, they beat the Cowboys in the preliminary final and then beat the Might of the Storm in the final.
Definitely.
Grand final. But, like you said, it's a great gauge of where they are. Obviously, they've pretty much got the same side from last year.
Yeah.
Missing Barber and Ennis. Yeah. The replacements are going quite well. They're going all right. I'm saying Storm as well. I think the Storm are going to be way too hard to beat. They're just so clinical. I mean, this is going to be a 6-0 start, possibly, if they get over the Sharks, which I think they will. Six wins start season. You throw in a couple of buys. How many will... I mean, what's that put them on? 12, 16 points? They're really only... They win another six games and they're, a shorter place in the final. Finals. I mean, they're just unbelievable, aren't they? And they just keep turning up.
Yeah. And with Kronk going... That's just going to be so much motivation for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure when they're going to lose a game. I think you'd be pretty brave to tip against them for the minor premiership, I think.
Absolutely.
I can't wait for that one. It's going to be a bruising encounter. I'll go to Storm.
Yeah,
Storm, no. Yeah.
So, mate, we're going to do the zero and the hero of the week. Let's do the zero first, mate.
Oh, okay, yeah. The zero of the week, It's a bit of a obscure one, but I'm going to come across as an AFL hater here. But I don't know. One thing that griped me over the whole summer was the AFL's. Maybe I shouldn't even discuss this, but with the success of the AFL women's competition and with the widespread publicity and goodwill that came out of it, the attention obviously turned to rugby league, and you know, the questions were asked, what are we doing about it? What have we don't we care about women's rugby league? And it's a little bit griping because we do have a lot of involvement from women in rugby league. I'm looking at a stat here that I collected from the New South Wales Rugby League, that over 450,000 females have a direct connection with rugby league, whether as administrators, players, coaches, employees, volunteers or club members. So when you hear that, they're the real numbers that matter. And I know the optics of what Todd Greenberg called a cherry on top national competition, they do help. Women in rugby league is a thing, and it's a really good thing. It's growing. It's healthy. Every time the Jillaroos are on television, they're watched in healthy numbers.
They play quality football too.
Definitely. Oh, the standard is brilliant. Yeah. Me and my better half were our guests of the NSWRL at Leichhardt Oval last year for the Sydney Metropolitan Women's Grand Final night, and there was two grades. Yeah. The standard was amazing. The crowd passion was fantastic. And it just sort of, you know, just illustrated how strong and improving the women's game is. So that's a long way of saying that.
Yeah.
Zero of the week is the criticism that league gets for not progressing the women's game in comparison to the AFL. Just going about it a different way, that's all. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, mate, our hero of the week.
Yep.
We've decided on Kieran Foran. He obviously scored a try last week to help the Warriors win, get over the top of the Titans there. I mean, let's talk about Kieran Foran. He's had a really tough couple of years, hasn't he? Or at least the last 12 months have been very tough. Left Manly at the end of 2015, signed a four-year, $4.8 million deal with the Eels, was heralded by Peter Sterling as the greatest signing in the club's history.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets injured, and then obviously everything else comes out. He's obviously suffered greatly in his personal life with his partner, and he losing his partner. He's obviously a father to beautiful kids as well. Then everything else that came with that, match-fixing allegations and such. He had a really tough year last year, didn't he? The spotlight was really on him. He's gone away. Would have been extremely hard for him. I mean, great thing to get out of the fishbowl that is Sydney, to get over there, given an opportunity there on a one-year deal. Set out the first four rounds, obviously. He was told to sit out the first three anyway, as from the NRL.
And then broke down in the warm-up last
broke
week.
Broke down the warm-up.
Yeah, the week before.
Then comes out, hasn't played a game in virtually a year, pretty much.
Yeah.
And puts on a clinic. I mean, he's a superstar, isn't he? And this is it's great for the game, and it's great for Kieran Foran because it shows that he is in a good headspace, or at least getting back to where he needs to be in life.
Yeah, and how does that sit with you as a Manly fan? Like, are you kind of looking at him going, damn it, like he's...
Well, it was a difficult situation for Manly when Kieran Foran left, because obviously DCE was off contract as well.
Yep.
I think that they really wanted to keep both of them, just couldn't afford it. I really love the guy.
Okay.
I love the way he plays. He helped Manly as a young fella. I think he was only 21 or 22 when Cherry Evans and he combined in 2011 as a halves pairing to deliver that premiership over the Warriors, funnily enough.
Yeah.
But mate, I'm just happy to see him playing good football. I know it's only one game, but gee, I'm so happy for him, because this, as rugby league fans, that's what we want to see. We want to see our biggest stars playing the game, and we want to see our biggest stars happy.
Yeah.
And hopefully he is. And this year with the Warriors, we'll definitely do that for him, I think.
It's a bit of a cheeky question from myself, so.
No, I like it. I like it.
Thought there'd be a bit of bitterness there. It's never nice, is it? Never nice watching somebody kick on from your club. So I've been there with Freddie Fittler and the Panthers. And
I think if he would have gone straight, obviously he went to the Eels. If he would have stayed at the Eels, I think if it had not been from his off-field struggles last year, I would have thought a lot differently about it.
Especially him going to the Eels from Manly.
Absolutely, our arch rival.
Yeah.
Mate, just absolutely. I was gutted when he left. To be honest, if he would have stayed with the Eels, I mean, that would have been him and Corey Norman.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what they would have done together.
Definitely.
I would have definitely winced every time, that they played. So, but yeah, like I said, it's great for the game. And mate, didn't he play well last week?
Yeah, he was really strong. And the thing that I forgot about was his speed.
Yeah.
Jeez, he's a fast player. That when he broke through for that try, he knew that he could get through that gap. Well, that wasn't really a gap. He just busted two blokes apart, and yeah, it was a terrific effort. Yeah, obviously, it would have taken a lot out of him being his first game back. Yeah. So, yeah, watching him this week is going to be really interesting.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us on our maiden podcast, the NRL Inside Sport podcast. It's been great having you with us.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.